We have three great passages in the scriptures this morning. Of course, the response for a psalm, Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance. That notion of repentance, of conversion, metanoia, is what maybe we can say comes to life in these two readings from Ezekiel, sprinkling clean water, giving a new heart, and then this wedding feast. In those two passages, we can see a great parallel there, a great promise from the prophet Ezekiel, that those who've been scattered because of their sin and infidelity, that God will show his greatness to those people to whom they were scattered. He will show his greatness to them by bringing his chosen ones back, by reuniting all those who were lost. And then the great baptismal imagery of sprinkling water. And then the new heart, taking away your stony heart and giving you a natural, a fleshy heart. The promise of God in the Old Testament, which was made real, came to fulfillment in the person of Jesus and in his church and through our sacraments. This great prophecy that we are living in today. His great promise of God revealed in this parable of the wedding feast. And what a great image it is that God frequently gives to us about what our life in Jesus, our life with Christ is. That great wedding feast, the festival to which we are called. You know, it elevates us into a new realm of thinking of what life in Christ is supposed to be. Not simply just following commands and moral imperatives, but invited into this familial, this family festival of joy. And with marriage comes new life. And this is what we're invited into. We see that many reject the invitation. And Jesus is speaking to the chief priests and the elders. So there's a little sharpness to this, because those are the ones who will reject him. The Jews, the chosen people who should have been the first to hear and to receive the invitation, will be the first to reject. Some ignored, others mistreated and killed. That happened to the prophets in the Old Testament. Happened to John the Baptist, happened to Jesus, and countless martyrs since then. How many people have rejected the invitation and have mistreated and killed the messenger? But those who accept the invitation are invited in, and the hall was filled. He said, go out and invite everyone you see. There was no depletion of the party. It wasn't like they were just passing out what was left over. The party, the hall was filled. There was room for everyone who was invited. There was a place there to recline with the king at the wedding feast of his son. But then that harsh warning at the end about the wedding garment, not putting on what was required to be there. Much like the earlier invited guests who ignored this refusal to accept the fullness of the invitation, this desire to cling to the natural hearts that we build in our lives, our own kingdoms, our own ideas, our own ways of how God should be, refusing to allow him to recreate us. And this is one of the lies of the modern world, of the day-to-day, that God made me this way and he doesn't want me to change. He just accepts me as I am. That's a lie, clearly from the pages of Scripture. A complete and total conversion is required. Yes, he goes out lavishly inviting everyone. No one is excluded from the invitation, but it requires a real conversion. And again, not just assenting to proofs of belief or checking boxes or a moral code. A complete and total conversion of our hearts, our complete way of life. And this image, this kind of horrid image he gives about being thrown out. Let that be an inspiration for us. I don't want to take the chance of holding on to anything in my life that's not from God or for God. I don't want to take the chance of being thrown out. We ask for the grace for the renewal of those baptismal graces, of the new life in Christ, which is freely poured into us, so that we will have the ears to hear the invitation and the courage to change everything as we hear this invitation to give us a new heart so that we can be welcomed into the wedding feast of the Son.